Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mary.
It's usually the other way around. I usually say to Mark, I'm away, you're in charge. Now Mark's away and I'm in charge. It's a good feeling, a new feeling. So we're going to be going through the communion service. I said that we would have communion today because I'll be away for the next 3 weeks and back on the fourth Sunday for another communion then. So there'll be three morning prayers following today, and the fourth Sunday would be Holy Communion. So we'll go through the Holy Communion service together this morning again. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And we say this opening collect together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. It also says in Psalm 95, come, let us sing to the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Which we're able to do as we sing together, yet not I, but through Christ in me, a newish song. We've had it before, but we'll see how we go. Few people knew that we should be still standing. I'm new at this. Please stand and we'll recite together the creed that the Christians around the world will say this morning, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Now you may be seated, I think. When we share the cup of the Lord and break bread together, we express our common participation in the benefits of Jesus' death for us. So we should examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the cup, confessing our sins to God, acknowledging the need to care for one another, and renewing our trust in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, quoting the scriptures, said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Now we confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. We pray together. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your sake, for Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And the Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." Therefore, the Bible says we can have peace with God, and we're able to say, "We are the body of Christ, his Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you." And you might like to share that peace with each other. Let's peace be with you. And we can continue that over morning tea after the service, that fellowship. In light of what we've heard from the scriptures and the peace that God has given us, lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High." Join me in this prayer. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. From the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. The small cups contain grape juice or wine. The bread is gluten-free. You can stand or kneel to receive communion at the rail, and we encourage families to come together. We who believe in your Son, Jesus, Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, have received these pledges of his love, and we thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church, which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen. Let's say this verse from a couple of verses from Psalm 92 together. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Good way to introduce our time of prayer, which we're going to have now, and I think Robin's going to lead us in that.
The Collect for the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Lord God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many great dangers that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of love, we pray for the peoples of the world, for all in places torn by war and hostility, for all who are hungry, homeless or destitute, for the indigenous people of this land and all for whom Australia is home. We pray for world leaders and for all who have responsibility of government. Guide them as they deal with the endless problems confronting their countries. In your love, you have created bountiful riches for us to share. Teach us to show our love in lives passionate for justice and impatient for peace. In your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, we pray for your church, for places where it suffers danger and persecution, for places where your prophets are not recognized and your voice is not heard. We pray for those who are pastors to your people and all who minister in your name. We especially pray for Eric, our rector, as he guides and teaches us with great love and care. Keep him safe and well, give him both rest and enjoyment on his long service leave next month. In your love, you sent your son to live as one of us. Teach us to show our love in lives that draw others to your presence. In your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, we pray for the communities in which we live, for those with whom we share loving relationships, for those who struggle in difficult relationships, for those who grieve for broken relationships and for the death of loved ones. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, as we commence a new year, we pray for schools and universities, for those who teach and those who learn. In your love, you reach out to us, inviting us to be your friends. Teach us to show our love in lives that reach out to others in generosity and forgiveness. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for all who suffer in body, mind or spirit, for those for whom society finds no place, for the sorrowing, the despairing, the sick and the dying. We pray for doctors and nurses, for health workers and for all agencies that work to relieve the suffering of others. And we pray for the extreme shortage of these people who are now living under great stress as they try to care for those needing their help. We pray for those known to each of us, within our own families and this church family. In your love, you heal the sick and welcome the unwanted. Teach us to show our love in lives of compassion and advocacy for the vulnerable and weak. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of love, we give you thanks and praise for your faithful people of every age, for all whose lives which have shone with your love, for those whose yearly remembrance falls at this time. In your love, you promise us the hope of eternal life. Teach us to show our love in lives that follow in the footsteps of your saints, that with them we may be drawn into your presence, enfolded forever in your eternal love. God of grace, hear our prayer. Amen. Should we all join together in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
And we have a spot today. We often get different organisations, church organisations, sending us videos to help us understand their work. And today's video will come to you from Anglicare, which is the branch of the church that helps deal and demonstrate God's love to people from all places and walks of life. So sit back, relax and enjoy while I go and find where I left my sermon. And we'll just take this moment to pray for the work of Anglicare. Lord God, please remind us that people or organisations like Anglicare are not just names, but groups of people, groups of individual Christians who are reflecting and demonstrating and sharing the love of Christ, the love that they have experienced in their own lives, that they're giving to other people in order to draw them towards Jesus, and just to help people. Lord, we pray that you would enable us to do that in our own lives, but when we want to do it further afield, to be able to support, encourage and strengthen those who are part of teams like Anglicare. We pray for them in their work. We pray for health and strength for the workers. We pray for wisdom and guidance for their leaders. And we pray that your people would generously support this work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And we take this opportunity to ask God to take our lives and let them be like his. Let's stand as we sing together. Now we're going to hear from God's word, and as Celia's coming up, I'll say, yes, we have had that song before. It's our theme song, basically, for this series of Living Under the Lordship of Christ, along with another song that we'll hear later on. Thank you, Celia.
And this is our theme reading from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. They are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Grab that. Our sermon series is called Living Under the Lordship of Christ. As you might remember, Isaac talked to us on the first week about the wandering eye and our need to live in control. Celia then talked to us about the idle hand and our need to live in service. Jasper then came along and talked to us about the prideful heart and our need to live in humility. Last week, I talked to you about the troublesome tongue and our need to live in truthfulness. And this week, we're talking about the deceived mind and our need to live in wisdom. Allow me to give you my conclusion at the very beginning of this sermon, just in case. The deceived mind says no to God. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. The deceived mind says no to God. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. Before we unpack that message, let's ask God to help us understand and act on what we hear. Almighty God and Father, please open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our world has an ever-increasing abundance of knowledge. What it lacks is wisdom. What's the difference? Well, as you might know, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Or perhaps something more serious, knowledge is knowing how to build an atomic bomb. Wisdom is knowing that we should never use it. Now let me bring this into the context of the church. There is an old joke amongst clergy that, maybe it's a joke amongst old clergy, I'm not sure. There's an old joke amongst clergy that goes something like this. My Bible study group is quite advanced. They can recite all the sins in the book of Amos, and they do them every week. Knowledge is not equal to wisdom. The opposite of wisdom is folly or foolishness. This contrast is found throughout the Bible. The book of Proverbs is full of comparisons between the wise person and the fool. And even the book of Psalms begins with a similar contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And we learn that the righteous person delights in the law of the Lord, whereas the wicked are not so. The deceived mind, you see, says no to God and no to his word. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. In the New Testament, we hear that the wise man built his house upon a rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Knowledge told the fool that it was technically possible or plausible to build a house upon the sand, and so he did. The wise man saw the bigger picture, which is more than just what is possible or plausible. So the answer to the question, why should we do this, is not because we can. Knowledge tells us how we do something. Wisdom tells us why we do or don't do it. The devil used his knowledge of the Bible to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. He put forward a plausible plan, and the offer was tempting because worldly wisdom or knowledge offered a painless alternative. If Jesus took the devil's deal, he would get what he wanted, what he came for, without having to suffer for it. But Jesus had the wisdom to say no to all of Satan's temptations because he knew the bigger picture and he understood his mission in the context of God's love and sovereign plan to save his people from eternal death. And this is how the Apostle Paul wants us as followers of Jesus to live our lives, by thinking with godly wisdom. In Romans 12 verse 2 he says, "Do not be conformed to this world," in other words to the way that this world thinks, "but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We need to live by God's bigger picture, not just by the plausible possibilities that lie before us. One of the repeated prayers in the Bible is that we may have our eyes opened to this bigger picture, to this greater understanding of God's love and of God's plan. You remember in Ephesians 3, Paul says in verse 18, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You see, we don't just know about God's love, we know, we experience God's love. Experiencing and then expressing God's love, as we've said this morning, is at the heart, the very foundation of our faith, to love God and to love others. God's greatest command is to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. But we can only love him because he first loved us. It's because we have experienced God's love that we are able to love God as he loves us, and that we're able to love others. It's because we have experienced God's love that we were able to see beyond the way the world thinks with its short-sighted possibilities, and to know the will of God in his wider purpose, which according to Romans 8:28 is to work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If we go back to the Old Testament, we see that knowledge told Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, that God was capable of saving them from the fiery furnace. But wisdom told them that God's sovereign plan for his people did not necessarily require them to live. Either way, their faith in God was not shaken, because they trusted in his sovereign plan. Wisdom gave them a broader perspective than knowledge of their surrounding circumstances, with its narrow-minded possibilities, which was basically just death. Wisdom gave them a broader perspective than knowledge could ever give them. In other words, their minds were not deceived by the way the world thinks with its blinkered vision. They were not like the fool who says no to God. They were not like the wicked who fail to delight in the law of the Lord but prefer to ignore and reject it. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:13, and says, "But the wicked," taking up the theme from Psalm 1, "but the wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived." You see, the deceived mind says no to God and no to his word. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. The ancient Greeks were very proud of their advanced level of thinking, and we still read and praise the intellect of their great philosophers like Plato and Aristotle. But Paul, he was not all that impressed with them. He, along with Donald Trump, probably saw it all as fake wisdom. He told the Greek Christians, so the people in the same country where these philosophers lived, he told the Greek Christians in Corinth to base their lives on the demonstrated power and love of God, and not on merely human wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4 says, "My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God." It's interesting to see how Paul describes earthly or human wisdom. In chapter 2, verse 1 of that Corinthians letter, Paul says he didn't proclaim the gospel with lofty words or wisdom, And in chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says he did not use plausible words of wisdom. You see, the wisdom of the world can sound quite erudite, quite learned or scholarly. And the arguments put forward are generally intelligent, reasonable, plausible. Just like the devil put forward a plausible plan when he tempted Jesus. But a plausible plan is not the same as God's perfect plan. The devil had no desire at all to submit to the will of God. Thus, his plausible plan was really fake wisdom. When Paul proclaims the gospel, he is speaking words of wisdom, but he says it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. So the question we come to is, how then can we come to know this wisdom from God? And Paul says, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul says that the things which no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So Paul is saying only God's Spirit can reveal God's mind or God's wisdom to us. And then he has that encouraging line, and every Christian has the Holy Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. We have this thing, we may understand. It's not foreign to us or hidden from us anymore. He goes on to say, and we speak of these things, which things? The things Paul referred to earlier, the things of God. We speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. All Christians have access to the wisdom of God via the Spirit of God. And if we feel that we lack that wisdom at any point, all we have to do is ask, and God will give it to us, as James says in chapter 1, verse 5 of his letter. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. What all this means in practice is that we find it incredibly difficult, incredibly hard, to communicate the wisdom of God to people who only have the wisdom of this world. Paul says, those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they, the gifts of God, are spiritually discerned. And Paul says something similar in his first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? No wonder we find it so incredibly difficult to communicate the wisdom of God to people who only have the wisdom of the world. For they see our message as foolishness, and we see their wisdom in the same way. We are like people arguing in languages that are foreign to each other. It's very hard to communicate. Yet Paul concludes, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. It's not surprising, really, when you think of who God is. The wise of this world perceive our faith as foolishness, but they are the ones who are deceived. They are the ones who have the deceived minds. We are deceived when we turn our back on God and we pursue our own wisdom. And that's been like that from the beginning, just like Adam and Eve, who ignored God, rejected his word, his command, and were deceived by Satan's fake wisdom. It sounded plausible, but it wasn't God's perfect plan. It's true that you cannot know the mind of God unless God reveals his mind to you. But once God has revealed the true wisdom of his mind to you or to us, then we would be fools to ignore or reject it as they did, Adam and Eve. Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. How foolish would it be for us to ignore that or to reject that? And Paul describes Christ in his letter into the Colossians as the image of the invisible God. In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Therefore, if we know the mind of Christ, we also know the mind of God. The deceived mind says no to the mind of Christ, because it cannot know or comprehend the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ, and the wise mind seeks and serves the mind of Christ, and that is the will of God. To live under the lordship of Christ is to submit our lives to God's sovereign plan and purpose, which is to work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to that purpose. Living under the lordship of Christ means not conforming to this world and the way it thinks, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may discern what is the will of God and act upon it. The deceived mind says no to God. The wise mind seeks and serves the will of God. Which one are you? Which one will you be today? Let me conclude this sermon and our series by praying the opening line of a famous hymn. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Amen.
Wow, what a wonderful coincidence. The hymn we have to sing is May the Mind of Christ My Saviour. Let's stand and sing.
You may be seated and we'll have a couple of notices. First one is that we're getting an early start. We have to advertise this a month before the meeting, which is getting close. So the annual general meeting of St. Giles Anglican Church will be held on the 5th of March, 2023, after the 9 a.m. service. Notice of motions for general business should be submitted prior to the meeting. And that would be good. Now, I forgot to mention that when we had the Anglicare video, we also have copies of the Anglicare prayer diary for 2023. A lot of these things are available online, but for those who prefer to have the written copy in front of them, you can have one of these. We've only got three, so first in, best dress for that. Speaking of prayer, a reminder that the prayer guides for 2023, for those who like to have those in front of them, there are physical copies in the foyer, and there are also a digital copy on our website, which you may like to look at as well. If you want to communicate with us, if you don't want to talk to us face-to-face, or you want to take one of these home, they're in front of you in the pews, you can use them to put in prayer points or ask questions. That's a good thing. Don't forget that we're doing the prayer course leading up to when we recommence Bible studies. So the recommencing of Bible studies would be the fifth one in the series. And you find that online at our site as well. Oh, and speaking of birthdays, we're trying to... we're getting get Russ ready now. We're going to be taking a photograph up the front here. Yes? No? All right, so we're going to take a photo for Graham to put on his some digital card or something that we can send him for his 90th birthday, which is coming up on the 20th of February. But since I'll be away, I thought we'd get this done now. And that would be good. Is there any other notices people need to give me? Yes?
Just one quick one for Parish Council. Owing to Eric going on holiday tomorrow and my availability, it is probable the parish council meeting will be at 10:30 tomorrow morning here, subject to Mark's availability. This only was proposed about an hour and 10 minutes ago, so and Mark's not here, so we'll follow up, but probably 10:30 tomorrow morning here.
And yes, if you're praying for us, you can pray any time. God will hear you, even post the event.
So there we go. Nothing else? Kristen? There's a coffee morning for women at the rectory from the on the first Saturday of the month, including next month, whatever date that is.
Next Saturday.
Well, there we go. Any other notices? Nope. Okay then. What I thought we'd do then, we'll have the blessing, and then we'll give it a go. So now let's stand as we have this blessing together, and then we'll move up the front. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Right.